Manx Radio Saturday Live Lounge, supported by Villa Gaiety. For the latest Watson information, visit villagaiety.com.
Everybody's talking about the new sound. Funny, but it's too rock and roll to me.
Thank you, Billy Joel.
Hello.
Carl, hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. It's been so long.
Oh, it's been ages, I know.
Well, it is very lovely to be talking across the water via the medium of digital stuff to Carl Holden, one half of Harvey. Carl, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Christy. Nice to talk to you.
And you are one half of Harvey, the other half here on the Isle of Man, Stu Waterett. We've been playing your latest single, Lanterns. Let's talk about that first then, because this is something a bit different for you. It's a cover.
It is. It's the only one. That's right. It's the only cover we've sort of worked on. And it's sort of been brewing for a while, actually. I think Stu had the idea originally to do the cover. We loved, I mean, he knows Matt anyway, and we'd heard, I think there were some acoustic versions kicking around on YouTube, I think, pre-Matt recording the album, putting it on the album on Patient Steps. And we loved it. And she said, oh, why don't you do a cover of it? And it was kind of almost, it was almost quite casual at the time. At the time, which was probably about 2018, maybe, we just started doing the sort of big project, the Harvey, getting the first album done. And we hadn't really re-recorded anything from scratch or anything new. It was mainly reworking what we had from some Stu's original stuff and then really supplementing it with lots of new tracks. So it was quite different to do the cover.
Yeah, and I take it Matt's heard it, has he?
I believe so, yeah. It's funny, I've not met Matt. I've seen videos of him on YouTube and I follow him on Facebook, and you know, he's a bit of a musical legend himself, involved in all the musicals and stuff, but I've never met him.
Oh, that's interesting. And I suppose that begs another question, really, because of course you are off island and yet you've still managed to keep Harvey going while Stu's on island. So how has that worked between the pair of you?
Well, it's a really good question. So, I mean, effectively, because Stu's got motor neuron disease, right? He's got this kind of really rare, motor neuron disease is rare in itself, but the form he's got, which is called PLS, is even rarer than that. So when we originally had the idea to start getting these songs out there, if you like, we were already working in a way that was very online. I think the last time I was over in the Isle of Man was probably, I think it might have been 2018, actually. And so I went, we'd done a couple of tracks when I came over. And then I went back home. We got the same software installed. We both used it on a Mac. So we would just collaborate online and I would kind of put rough demo tracks down, send them to Stu and say, oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And so even before the pandemic hit, we were already working in that way and just sort of pinging ideas backwards and forwards on WhatsApp or email. So it's really, and it's continued like that for the last few years while we finish everything off, really.
And how has it worked with relation to Stu then? Because obviously we know that motor neuron disease is a degenerative disease and it has affected Stu in many different ways physically, but he is still making this music with you. And I believe you have employed the services of a digital bot in some way, shape or form to help you, haven't you?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So obviously it's a bit of a hot topic at the moment and there's lots of stories in the press about, you know, the misuse of AI where people have been unknowingly replaced by AIs and all this kind of stuff. And really for us, it's a completely different experience. So Stu can't sort of sing or play anymore. So I've been sort of really upping my game to try and make sure I could sing a track that was worth listening to where maybe we didn't have a vocal of Stu's that we could rescue. So up until about 18 months ago, we'd almost kind of finished everything. We were working on these tracks and we had various versions of things available to use. And then Stu started playing around with his AI thing. And originally it was almost like a joke thing. You could upload some sound like you speaking to this AI kind of web thing, whatever it's called. Stu knows the proper terms of it. And it would kind of set, you could kind of say, oh, you know, make me sound like Homer Simpson, or make me sound like this and that. But anyway, over time, because we had a lot of Stu's original vocals on sort of multi-track stuff, we could train the AI with his voice. And then magically we could upload, I could sing a track, you know, really giving it my all and trying to do it justice as much as I could. But then we'd use that and sort of process that through this AI, which would just magically make it sound like Stu. And the first time you heard it, it was, I mean, it was bizarre, actually, kind of spooky in a way. It was, but amazing at the same time. So suddenly I could sing a track, process it, and come back, add it into the main recording, and there it was. There was Stu singing. So it was amazing, really. So we've not done it on all the tracks. We've kind of been selective, but it's given us kind of creative options. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I can sort of sing, and I like doing backing vocals and harmonies, as we were saying the other day. But I'm not really a lead vocalist. So for me to have the option of not hearing myself coming back from the speakers was also amazing. So Stu can't sing, he gets to participate in this creative process and have something that sounds very Stuart-like. I mean, you've heard Lanterns, it's mm-hmm. you wouldn't know that it wasn't Stu.
No, it's extraordinary when you hear it. It really is it Stu. Is. And I suppose I love how this is a positive story about AI when, as you said, you know, there's so much negative. And I know it must mean so much to Stu to be able to have his voice sort of resurrected in this way. It must have been quite emotional for him when he heard it.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have been. And we've sort of talked about it a lot in terms of that impact. And, you know, I think if you're a really good singer and you've had this experience of AI where you've been replaced or something's been enhanced or whatever, that must be really frustrating, right? It's like you're up against, I mean, it's hard enough for musicians to make a living anyway. So that must be really tough. But for us to have it completely the other way around, where it was an option and just this ability to, I've become like a sort of voice donor, if you like. I've said, right, here's my raw track. It's as good as I can do it. Here you go, process it. Let's Stuify it. And it's almost like, I think of it as almost like a guitar effects pedal. It's like, you know, I'm the guitar being played, and then you press the button on the effects pedal, and that triggers the AI, which just takes my voice and just colours it and just makes it sound like Stu. I think the human brain is quite malleable, and I think it doesn't have to be perfect for it to sound how you want it to sound and to sound like Stuart. So yeah, it's been incredible for us, and I think it feels like it's much more of a band as well, because, you know, I'm sitting there and I'll put down all these tracks and have a go at singing it, and Stu will sort of direct me and say, oh, well, how about singing it like this or doing it like that? But then to actually, at the end of that process, being able to come away and actually it sound like him, I think it's just brilliant.
Mm. Well, let's hear Lanterns now with this incredible AI voice, which is Stu at the end of the day. As Carl's just saying, it is Stu's voice, which has been learned by this incredible system, this AI system.
Exactly.
And it has been put back out again in this form, covering Matt Crea's Lanterns. This is Harvey.
I need you to know me high, send me free.
Incredible when you listen to it to think that that vocal has been produced by AI. Extraordinary. That is Harvey and their cover of Matt Crea's Lanterns. If you've just tuned in, I am playing you a chat I had with Carl Holden from off of Harvey across the water. He lives over in the UK there and I caught up with him recently. Here's a little bit more of our chat. How did you and Stu actually meet? What is the story behind how you guys first came together?
Well, we... It was back in the 90s in London, and we were both down there. I think I'd just graduated. I think Stu had been in London a little bit, but he put an ad in Melody Maker, and I was going through Melody Maker in the days where you could do that and do the small ads and stuff. And I just came across this ad. Stu sent me a tape. We met up, found that we were sort of fairly similar in outlook and similar taste in music and stuff, and we just started recording and playing. We were all living in this this flat in Chalk Farm, and just round the corner from Creation Records, and it was just a great time. It was a fabulous time to sort of be doing it. And I think I'd done a lot of solo stuff, which I was never particularly happy with, if I'm honest. I've always enjoyed music, but really it was when we met Stu that it was like, ah, yeah, this makes sense. And we wouldn't try and do anything fancy. It was always about a song. It was about good, simple melody, harmonies, nothing fancy guitaring-wise, because neither of us could do that kind of stuff. But just, you know, it was all about the songs.
God, do you know, that's such a lovely story, and it's just so sort of old school and nostalgic listening to those references, actually meeting through Melody Maker. I was messaging you both earlier about the fact we were going to catch up today, and I said, oh, is there anything in particular you want to talk about? And Stu messaged back and said, what about first and last initial idea? What does he mean by that? How is it? what does that bring up?
Yeah, so it's great. Well, so originally, if you go back maybe sort of 8-9 years, I think Stu had been diagnosed with the PLS a couple of years earlier. I think it took a long time to nail it. But anyway, it was this whole idea of kind of, oh, you know, we've got this stuff. Let's just make it. Let's do something with it. Because he had some great songs, and we had some good initial recordings that we'd done quite a while ago. So the original idea was just to have one album, call it Harvey First and Last, because it probably would be the last, because we couldn't do the new songs. We couldn't write songs and make them, get Stu to sing them. So it was a very different set of variables back then. And the idea was just to put out one album, First and Last, and that was going to be it. Then as we started working together, and Lanterns was very much a part of that, where she was like, oh, why don't we cover this? And I'm like, okay, I'll give it a go. And I would start recording it and we'd come out with it. And at the end of it, you think, okay, that kind of works. Why don't we revisit some of Stu's old stuff that maybe we can't rescue the multi-track recordings and just redo what we can? And it kind of grew and grew and grew. So by the time the first album came out, which was 2 years ago, 2022, actually First and Last, the single album, had become two albums, and it was First, and then the second one is going to be Last. But, you know, who knows? I mean, sometimes I think maybe the next one should be called Next. And there might be another. Because I have actually, I mean, I'm not a prolific songwriter like Stu was and is. But I did actually record, I wrote a new track this time last year, which hopefully will be coming out at some point during this year and definitely on the album. And again, I was able to write a new song that we could use the AI on. So I could write a new song and Stu could sing a new song. So it's kind of, you know, I mean, you might be waiting a long time for me to write a whole album's worth of songs, but it's kind of got that idea going now that actually maybe it could, there can be a continuation of it, even if it's slightly non-traditional in the way that you would normally run a band and play live and all those kind of things. So well, who knows?
Well, I think you're proving you tend to not be very traditional anyway in the way that you run off.
Exactly.
But that's part of the magic, isn't it? And so, and when can we expect the last, in kind of quotes, album then? When is that likely to be available?
Well, we hope. I mean, most of the work has been done for a while. I mean, you know, although we can still sometimes we'll come back to a track will brew for quite a while and we'll come back to it while we're finishing other ones. We've never just got one thing on the go, but all of the work really is done. And I guess now this the kind of AI thing has added a new dimension where we might change a couple of things. But also, actually, I don't know if you remember, there was that Beatles song that was released last year, Now and Then, I think it was. Yeah, Now and Then. So what they'd done there is they'd use AI to separate out a vocal, of John Lennon's vocal, from an old track and do that. So there might be other options in terms of pulling out and maybe remixing stuff that we were kind of happy with but wasn't quite working. So it could go on a bit. But I think at some point you have to draw a line and say, okay, maybe it is going to be next, and next we'll have 10 tracks and then we'll do some more. But I think it's this year. All of the work is really done. It's just a case of finalising the mixes and seeing how far we want to go with some of these new possibilities.
Oh, exciting. And there are so many possibilities.
It is exciting.
If we're going to play something from the back catalogue then, Carl, what would you particularly like to hear?
Well, I really like, I think She Said is a great track. And again, it's a good reminder of when it was recorded, we didn't have these options. So we had this new middle eight that we had worked on originally, but was never in the kind of demo version that Stu had. So we inserted our new middle eight with me singing it. And then, so it was kind of this duet between me and Stu almost. And I think it's a great track. It's one of Stu's best ones, I think. So that would definitely be my pick.
Well, let's put it on then. This is Harvey and She Said.
Spring the flowers grow. Yes.
So that was Harvey, She Said. And I'm chatting with Carl from the group now. I'm calling you a group rather than a band, but you're sort of a duo, really, aren't you, Carl?
Yeah, we're a duo with assistance where required.
Yeah, duo with a bot on hand, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, listen, one thing we do in the Live Lounge to find out a little bit more about people from their musical history is we ask about their firsts. And so I would like to know from you, what do you remember what the first album was that you bought and also what format it would have been in?
Do you know what? I do. It's a little bit sad, I'm not going to lie, but it was a long time ago. So I think my first album was on cassette in about 1982, and I think it was The Lexicon of Love by ABC.
Good choice.
Yeah, Trevor Horn producing it. Yeah, it's a fantastic album, but it sounded probably awful on my little mono cassette player when I was 11. So.
Well, do you know what? Mine were cassettes as well. I think I had a few 7-inch singles, but mostly cassettes.
Yes.
I loved it. And we didn't know back then, you know, when we were kids. Nah. We didn't know what things sounded like unless you had a massive, expensive stereo hi-fi system.
No, that's right.
Yeah, I think and cassettes have made a comeback anyway, so I think we were right all along. Yeah. So, yep. Okay, what about, do you remember what the first gig was that you went to, or first live performance, or at least the one that sort of sticks in your memory?
Yeah, so I think I went big quite early. I think my first gig was Simple Minds and the Waterboys at Milton Keynes Bowl.
Oh, my word. What do you remember about the night?
I remember it was amazing. So I think it was 85. It might have been 86, but it was right as Simple Minds were at the kind of height of their pomp, if you like. But it was amazing, and it was loud, and it was a few of us had travelled down there from Oldham to go and see this thing, and it was brilliant. It was a great night.
And what age would you have been then?
So I think I was 15.
About 15. Yeah. Oh, what a thing to do.
Oh, I know. I've probably not been to a bigger or more impressive gig than that. You know, I mean, I've seen bands at sort of Wembley Stadium, like you'll see the Stones or whoever at Wembley Stadium. But I always find really big gigs now have just not got that kind of excitement and atmosphere that you would have got back then.
Yeah.
Probably because they were breaking all the health and safety limits on volume. But
and also, yeah. Do you think that in any way sort of influenced you in your desire to become a musician?
Yeah, I think it probably did. I mean, I was playing the piano when I was very young. Probably started playing the piano when I was six or seven years old. So I was always into music. And of course, if you're into music, you always have this dream that one day you might sort of do something with it or make something of it. But it was very much a kind of in the background, you know. I was kind of always concentrating on your schoolwork, do your exams, do your O levels, do your A levels. So it never really, it sort of bubbled up through the surface now and again, but it was never the main thing that I was able to spend time on.
But now, you know, you're about to release another album, so there you go.
Well, exactly, yeah. Making it up for it in my middle age.
Yes, exactly. What about then, thinking back to the first time you got up and did a performance or a gig of some description?
Yeah, I remember it well. So I was in a band at school, and I think we were not particularly good, let's face it, but we played in this pub in Oldham, which is no longer there, I believe. But we were so loud that the stage would kind of just vibrate, and between the tracks, the drummer's kit and stool would kind of just travel away from each other during every single song. So at the end of the song, you'd have to either pull the kit back or you'd pull the stool forward. But I think I wouldn't say we were banned, but I think we were discouraged from playing again just due to the sheer volume.
That's pretty rock and roll, Carl.
Very rock and roll. Yeah, I painted my own guitar. I had a guitar that I'd painted myself in these kind of fluorescent colours with like tiger stripes on it. It was awful, awful. But yeah, good memories.
Oh, I love it. Well, listen, I suppose really we should let you get on. It's been lovely to catch up with you. I'm going to ask you to finish up. First of all, tell us where people can find out more about Harvey. Where can they get all the gen on the new records and new albums?
Yeah, great. So, I mean, it's all up on Spotify. The first album is up there. There's some singles that have not yet made it onto the album yet. But it's all on Spotify. There's a good bio on there. Yeah, watch the space, follow us, listen to the tunes. We love people hearing it and letting us know they've heard it. And it's always exciting, to hear it on the radio. So thanks for playing it on the radio as well. It's been great. I think it's available on the other streamers like Apple Music as well. So
yeah,
choose your streaming service and
choose your weapon.
Listen away. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm gonna then finish off by letting you choose your favourite Simple Minds song, Carl, and we're gonna finish up with that for you.
One of my favourite albums was New Gold Dream, which came out in 1982 when I was quite young, and I love Glittering Prize.
Well, I think you've earned it after this lovely chat. Thank you so much for catching up with us. All the best to you and to Stu and to Stu's robot.
Exactly. Thanks for having us, Christy. Great to talk to you.
So there you go. That was Glittering Prize, Simple Minds, especially for Carl from Off of Harvey. We've been hearing how Stu had his voice recreated and brought back to life by AI after he lost the ability to speak and sing properly as a result of MND. Well, we got to hear Carl's first, and I thought, well, we need to hear Stu's first. And hey, if he can use AI to recreate his voice for singing, then I'm sure he can use AI to recreate his voice and tell us his firsts. So here is AI Stu.
My firsts. First album was Deacon Blues' Raintown. I remember blowing my pocket money on it, but I fell in love with it there and then. First gig was in London. I found myself living near the Hammersmith Odeon in 1991. I used to pop down and get tickets off the touts for whoever was playing. The first gig was Della Mitri touring their first album. I remember Justin Curry, the singer, taking his top off and climbing the speakers. I've been a big fan, so it was a real treat. My first live performance was with Stories for Boys in 1987. We supported Clever Shirts on a wet Wednesday night at the now demolished MGM nightclub. If you stand in the Marks and Spencers men's underpants section, you can just about sense the ghost of the MGM. Great memories.
Great memories indeed, that's brilliant. We'll have some Clever Shirts a little bit later, but I had to pick something from that list of fabulous music. I went with this, Deacon Blue.
Alan doesn't understand her. He only thinks in numbers. He only drinks in restaurants where the girls are fully covered. He can't twist his yearning. Doesn't like pretending. His temper's stretched so much by work, his heart is generally. He calls her the chocolate girl, 'cause he thinks she melts when he touches her. She knows she's a chocolate girl, 'cause she's broken up and swallowed, wrapped in business silver. Turning up their ardor, 'cause plotting carries so much fun, then breaking hearts is harder. He calls her the chocolate girl, 'cause he thinks she knows when he touches her. Understand her. He thinks it's getting harder, so he spends the nights with old friends underneath the covers. And he talks about the chocolate girl and how he thinks she melts when he touches her, and that she knows she's a chocolate girl.
Love that lifting guitar at the end. It's awesome. What a tune. Deacon Blue Chocolate Girl playing there, especially from Stu, for Stu from Harvey.
Manx Radio Saturday Live Lounge, supported by Villa Gaiety. For the latest Watson information, visit villagaiety.com.